Good morning and welcome to Encounter Life Church. My name is Dr. Dwayne McKinney. I am the senior pastor here in Encounter Life, and I cannot tell you how excited I am and happy I am to have you join us this first Sunday in the month of May. Can you all believe it? We are already in the month of May, and I'm telling you, I love May. May is my favorite month. Why? Because it's my birthday month, and I'm so excited that May next week's coming up. That's my birthday month, my son's birthday month. May is a wonderful month, and we got through April, y'all. April flew by. March went a little bit slower with all of this going on with the pandemic, but God has been faithful, and no matter what's going on in our world, we still serve a faithful God, and He is in control. We believe God's in control. And right now, we're in the middle of our series. If you're joining us, this is your first time joining us. We're in the middle of a series. This is our third week in a series we call Songs for the Soul. And we are in the series because I believe that songs and music have a way of encouraging us and actually having a healing effect, help us get through situations in our life. And as I thought about songs and how music can help us, what better place to find songs than in the scripture? And there's a whole book of songs, and we call it the book of Psalms, okay? That's spelled P-S-A-L-M-S, the book of Psalms. And it's all it is a book full of different songs. And in there, you'll find words to encourage us and admonish us and instruct us. And so that's what we're doing for the next several weeks. We're going to be just getting some encouragement from God's word in the book of Psalms. In the first week, we said the reason why we could sing. And we looked at some attributes of God and some things about God and why we could sing in the middle of drama, in the middle of things being tumultuous in our life. We still have a reason to sing because God is in control. And then last week, first week we talked about the reason why we sing. And then last week, we dealt with the issue that, listen, living the blessed life, how God has called us to live a blessed life. You can live a blessed life. And we looked at Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. And we talked about how you can live a blessed life. And we talked about some folks that you got to stay away from, people you got to kind of get out of your life, and some things that you need to put in your life. And one of those things is you got to have a savor, you got to have an enjoyment in God's word, and you got to saturate yourself in God's word so that you can live the blessed life and experience what that blessed life looks like. And we said last week that blessed life, what does it look like? You'll be a person of stability. God will give you a stability in your life, and also He'll give you vitality. In addition to the vitality, you'll have fertility, meaning you'll have a productive life. You'll bring forth fruit in the season that it's supposed to be in. And then you'll also be consistent. You'll have consistency. And then finally, He'll bless you with prosperity. That's what we talked about, living the blessed life last week. And living that blessed life, I'm gonna be honest, even though the blessed life is available to all of us, do you know sometimes in my life, I don't necessarily experience it. You know, I mean, there have been seasons in my life. Yes, God, I'm blessed, and God has made that blessed life available where I can have the stability and I can have the vitality and the fertility, the consistency and all of that, prosperity. But there are some times when I'm not experiencing all that God has made available to me. And a lot of times it's not because God, but it's because what? Me. And usually it's because there's something that God's told me to do that I'm not doing, or something that I know that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, you know, which is called sin. You know, sin is just simply falling short of God's standard. And sin can cause us and keep us, can short circuit that blessed life that God would have us to experience. And all of us are guilty. You know, all of us fall short. None of us are perfect. If you're listening to me today and you're a follower of Christ and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there have been some times where you've dropped the ball. You know, there have been some times when you've fallen and you've disobeyed God, and you've actually maybe deliberately just did something you know you weren't supposed to do. And, you know, that's sin. But we praise God that we serve a merciful and gracious God. But, you know, there's sin. Sin is all the same. What I mean by that is that God looks at sin as sin. You know, we kind of grade sins as big sins and little sins, but when you fall in one area to God, you've blown it in all the areas. But sin might all be the same, but all sins don't have the same consequences. And so that's why, you know, we say a big sin and a little sin. It may not be because You know, that God all looks at sin the same, but the consequences on your life may be a lot different. And some of us today can attest to that and agree that there have been some decisions that I made that really have far-reaching consequences. What do I mean? You know, I could yell at my kids and kind of offend my kid by, you know, saying something to them I may not supposed to, or yelling at them or speaking harshly to them. That's sin too. The Bible tells me, fathers, not to provoke your children to anger. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing that. But you know, me doing that one time might not have the same consequence as me stepping out on my wife, cheating on my wife. You see, they're both sin, they're both wrong, but the consequences of one might be a lot bigger than the consequences of other. And there's sometimes, you know, when you've blown it really big, one of those sins that have really big consequences, one of those things that people look at as big sins, then man, that can beat you up on the inside. It can make you feel like, man, I've fallen and I've blown it. And man, where can I go from here? I don't know about you, if you've ever done something that you feel is so bad that God, I mean, I know you say you can forgive me, but can I forgive myself? You know, how can I bounce back from this? And so this morning, you know, first week we talked about the reason why we sing. And then last week, week one was the reason why we sing. And last week was the blessed life. But what if you're not experiencing the blessed life because of some sin in your life? Something that you've done wrong, area you've fallen short. And maybe people may not even know about it. A whole lot of people may not know about it, but you know, and it's beating you up on the inside. And you might feel like God, you know, you kind of walked away from God a little bit because, I don't want to be a hypocrite and I messed up so bad. God, how can I get back on my feet? God's got a word of encouragement for you. We're going to look in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. And one thing I love about God's word in the scriptures is the people that you see and the characters you see in the Bible, they're not some superheroes. They're everyday people. Everyday people who experience some of the things that we experience in life, they go through some of the same things we go through in life. And the Bible, God, in God's word, there are people who have blown it big, who've made big, big mistakes, bad mistakes, but they were able to bounce back from it. And today we're going to look at one guy, and I love it because I talk about everyday people. This guy even has an everyday name. You know, it's not Nahum, it's not Habakkuk, Zephaniah, or even Jeremiah. But this guy's name is Dave, David, King David. We're going to look at King David today because King David is like you and I. He's a person who blew it big, but he was able to bounce back. And the title of our message today is, He's Still Calling Your Name. He's still calling your name. You know, I came up with that because there's a song by a gospel artist by the name of Hezekiah Walker. If you like love gospel music, you know Hezekiah Walker. Every praise is to our God. You've heard that song. Even this past week, Hezekiah Walker and John P. Key were going back and forth on Instagram. But I love Hezekiah Walker because there's a song that he has that has ministered to me at some rough points in my life. Sometimes when I've dropped it, he's got a song called Calling My Name. And it says, how many times do I go against your will? Still you forgive me, yet and still I turn around and do the things I shouldn't do, because I belong to you and I know you will come through. Lord, I know I've taken advantage of your grace here in this Christian race, but yet I still hear you calling my name. And you know, David was a person who took advantage of God's grace. He blew it, he fell, but God still called him a man after God's own heart. And if you're listening to me this morning, and no matter what you've done, guess what? You can still be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You can still bounce back, and he's still calling your name, and he's got something he wants you to do. And in order for you hear him calling your name, but in order for you to bounce back and to be on pace what God has for you to do, to bounce back so you can experience that blessed life, there's three things that we find in Psalm chapter 51. That God would have you to do. Can we pray really quick? And we're going to get into it today. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for being a God of another chance. And we thank you for this opportunity to come and study your word and learn from you. God, we don't want more information, but for transformation. I pray, God, this morning that somebody be transformed by the word of God today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, David was a guy, he's an everyday guy, and he made everyday mistakes. Matter of fact, these are, I say everyday mistakes. Some of the things that David did aren't even everyday mistakes. When I look at some of the things I've done some really bad stuff in my, I consider stuff that it probably shouldn't have done. But David, let me just tell you a little bit about David. If you're not familiar with the story, it's in the Bible in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, if you look in the Bible, 2 Samuel, and the end of 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, it says, the Lord was very displeased with what David had done. The Lord was very displeased with what David had done. So you say, well, what had David done? And I'm glad you asked. Some of you know this, but for those of you who don't, I'm going to just kind of lay it out just in layman's terms for you. David was king. And David was king of Israel. And the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 11 says it was a time when kings go out to war. And what was going on, David, one day, he decided in his palace, he was supposed to be on the battlefield. But what David did, he goes up and on the roof of the palace, he's chilling. He's taking a day just to kind of maybe survey his kingdom. And he's looking out. And as he's up on the roof, in the distance, he sees this fine sister on a roof. And guess what she's doing? Taking a bath. Now, you know, David's a red-blooded brother, and he saw a beautiful woman. And you know, what he should have done when he saw her, he probably should have taken his butt back and gone back into the palace. But David saw the woman, and he looks over in the distance. And, you know, this is one thing I want to tell you. See, the first glance, the first thing you see, you can't help it. Just jumped up in your face. But what you can do something about that second look. But David took a second look. He took a third look. And David just kept staring at that sister taking a bath on the roof. And all of a sudden, David said, you know what? I want her. I want that young lady over there. So he got his servants and told him, listen, that woman over there, I want you to go and get her for me. Now, there's a couple of things in this. I'm going to put a little quarter in the meter right here. I'm going to tell you something. It said this happened at the time kings go out to war. David actually was supposed to be on the battlefield, but he was at home chilling at the crib. So this is a lesson to you. When you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, bad things happen. When you're out of position from where God's called you to be at that moment in time, usually bad things happen. So this is another word for you, and maybe for another day. Whenever, if God's called you to something, you better get to what God's called you to do at the timing God called you to do it. Because if not, you end up making some bad mistakes. And that's exactly what David did. David called for Bathsheba, and she came. And the Bible says that he seduced her, and he slept with her, and he had sex with her. And this is the deal. Bathsheba is a married woman, y'all. And Bathsheba's husband, in fact, happened to be one of David's most loyal soldiers. It was a guy by the name of Uriah the Hittite, African brother. He was one of David's most loyal soldiers. And Uriah was out on the battlefield while David is back at the crib sleeping with Uriah's wife. And so what happens is David sleeps with Bathsheba and sends her back home. And after time passes, Bathsheba sends word to David that, look, bro, I'm pregnant. Y'all guessed it. Y'all knew where this was going. Bathsheba ends up pregnant. So David has an opportunity right there. Man, I blew it. Let me own up to it. I'm the king. I messed up. Let me own up to it. But what does David do? David tries to cover his mistake. So David calls Uriah off the battlefield to send him back home. He said, I want you to come home, take a little break off the battlefield, spend some time with your wife. Now, I don't know about you. Most soldiers, if they've been out fighting war and somebody sends them back home, if you've been out and you've been away from your wife for a minute and you've been out there fighting and you've been hanging out with a whole bunch of guys out here in the barracks and fighting wars, and y'all get a chance to come home with my beautiful wife, I don't know about y'all, I'm headed right to the crib and I don't got to tell y'all what's going down. But Uriah was not that kind of dude. Uriah was a different guy. Man, I mean, he was a man of some unusual character. So David brings Uriah back home and says, Uriah, go chill with your wife. Go spend some time. Go sleep with your wife. Uriah says, how can I do that when my guys are out here on the battlefield battling? I can't do that. So what does Uriah do? He goes and he sleeps out in front of the palace. He sleeps with the servants, the Bible says, in front of the palace. He won't do that. So David says, he takes one step further. So David says, man, this guy, he's loyal. But what he does, David goes and proceeds to get Uriah drunk. He gets him drunk. And he gets him drunk, and he's hopefully when he gets drunk, he'll be able to go back to his wife. So Uriah is lit up. He is drunk out of his mind. But guess what? Uriah still says, I don't care. He was lit, but he still said, I'm going to sit out here in front of this palace and I'm going to sleep. I'm not going back home. I can't do that. That would not be fair. So he goes and he sleeps out in front of the palace again. So David said, man, this guy's not going to do it. So you know what David does? David already had, he had slept with somebody, his wife, committed adultery. He tried to cover it up twice. It didn't work. So now what does David do? David says he sends a letter back with Uriah. He writes a letter to gives it to Uriah. He says, I want you to give this to your commanding officer. Well, what does the letter say? The letter is really a death warrant for Uriah's own death. David sends a letter back with the commanding officer to tell him, put Uriah on the front line, and when the battle gets the fiercest, pull everybody back and leave Uriah out there hanging by himself so that he gets killed. He sets him up. And that's what happened. Uriah goes out there and he gets killed and he loses his life. He died. Word comes back that Uriah is dead. And David goes and marries Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Man, this dude is ruthless. Let me ask y'all, has the story so far, have any of y'all fallen this far than David? And the Bible later calls David a man after God's own heart. And he's not done. He sleeps with the woman. He now he murders her husband. He marries her and the baby dies. But it takes a man of God by the name of Nathan finally comes and confronts David with his sin. It wasn't until then that David said, I've blown it and I got to get myself together. In the Bible, in 2 Samuel, like I said, 2 Samuel 11:27, the second part of 27 said the Lord was displeased with David. And it was right after Nathan confronted David with all of his mess that David had to get himself together that he penned this psalm, Psalm 51. And if you want to bounce back, listen, all of us have fallen. I don't know about you. You may have stepped out on your marriage. You may have done something you may have committed a crime. You may have committed a sin that you think that nobody else may know and done something that you think I cannot bounce back from. There is no way that you have fallen too far for God to reach you. If God can still reach David and use David, call him a man after God's own heart. In fact, our own Savior, Jesus Christ, comes through the lineage of David. If he can do that, he's still calling your name and he's got a plan for you. But there's three things that you got to do. He's calling your name, but there's three things for you to bounce back so that you can experience this blessed life. There's three things that you got to do. And we're going to look. They're right here in Psalm 51. Number one, the first thing that you got to do, you got to admit that I've fallen. I got to admit I've fallen. That's number one. That's the first thing that you got to do. Look at the first couple of verses of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Aren't you so glad for his unfailing love? Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Verse 3, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I've sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. Listen, if you want to bounce back, God's calling your name, but what he's telling you to do, you got to admit it. You got to fess up to it. Yes, I did it. I blew it. I dropped the ball. I admit I sinned. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and then cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You got to agree with God about it. You got to say, all it is say, God, I did it. I admit I did it. You know, it's funny with my kids. A lot of times they'll do something wrong, but they don't want to admit they did it. I mean, they'll just flat out lie to you. I was just thinking about my youngest just the other day. I said, did you do that? No, I didn't do it. Did you do that? No, I didn't do it. And the funny thing I tell them all the time is when daddy's asking you this question, it's probably because I already know the answer. I know the answer. I'm just giving you an opportunity to own up to it. So just be one. This is a test. And you know, listen, if I already know the answer and I'm not all knowing, I'm here to tell you, God already knows you've blown it. Your sin has not caught God by surprise. It's hard to disappoint a God who knows everything, who sits high and looks low. The Bible says everything is open and laid bare before him. So I might as well admit to God what you got to do. Number one, to bounce back so you can experience that blessed life. He's calling your name so you can experience that call. All you got to do, number one, admit you've blown it. That's what David says right here in verse 3 of Psalm 51. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Don't hold on to it. Admit that I've fallen. That's number one. That's the first thing that you got to do. But the second thing that you got to do after you admit that you've fallen, it's not enough just to admit I've fallen. That's just an acknowledgement that I did it. Okay, that's one thing. See, but my kids, it's so funny. With them, they'll say, yeah, I did it, but she, my oldest will say, yeah, I kicked her. Yeah, I hit her. Yeah, I hit him. Yeah, I did that, but he did this. So what they're saying is, I admit I did it, but the second thing you got to do is you got to accept responsibility. You got to accept responsibility. You got to admit you did it, but you can't pass the blame on why you did it on somebody else. What you got to do is what David did. Verse 4 of Psalm 51. He says, against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. God, I did it, and I'm wrong, and there's no excuses. It's against you, and you alone have I sinned. God, I'm not going to put the blame on Bathsheba. No, I'm not going to say, well, if she wasn't up on the rooftop bathing, I wouldn't have fallen. Like Adam, you know, this woman you gave to me, passing the buck, I got to accept the responsibility. God, I did it. I did it, and it's nobody else's fault. You know, in life, sometimes, you know, there are circumstances in our life that may predispose us and lean us toward making some decisions that we may, or actually just sinning in areas of our life. There's some things that happen that kind of precipitate it. I'm talking to my married folks right now. If you're a husband, you might say, my wife, you know what? My wife, the Bible tells her to honor me, man, but she disrespects me. She's dishonored me. And that is why, listen, I was unfaithful to my spouse, but if my wife had honored me like she was supposed to, I was unfaithful to my husband, but if he had loved me and been more concerning to me than he was supposed to, it wouldn't have driven me to the arms of somebody else. Guess what? God is not, there's no excuse. You got to own up. You got to accept responsibility. Yeah, there's a lot of things that go on. It takes two to tango, but only thing I can deal with is me. And I got to accept responsibility. David said it right here to the Lord. God, it's nobody else. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I've done this in your sight. And you're right, God. You're right in what you say. And your judgment is always just. Are you ready to accept the responsibility for whatever it is? Where you've fallen. If you've fallen on your face, if you have disappointed God, like he said, that the Bible said in 2 Samuel, that the Lord was displeased with what David did. If that is you, and God, if you've done something that's displeased and dishonored God, what you got to do, he's calling you to accept responsibility. It requires a changing of your mind. And a changing of your mind, you cannot put the blame on somebody else. You got to have your mind transformed and tell God, listen, I own up to responsibility. It's nobody else's fault, Lord. I did this against you and you alone. You got to admit you've fallen. Number two, you got to accept responsibility. But number three, what you got to do after you admit that you've fallen and accepted your responsibility against you and you alone, God, have I done this? It's nobody else's fault. The third thing you got to do, we got all A's, adjust your direction. Adjust your direction. Look at the verse in Psalm 51, verses 7 through 12. We're going to look. It says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You've broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. How do you bounce back? What you got to do is admit I've fallen. Number two, you have to accept responsibility. And number three, it's time for you to adjust your direction. Once you've accepted responsibility, now you got to say, I'm going in a different way. I'm going in a different direction. How do I adjust my direction? How do I change my direction? Number one, what God is calling you to do, spend regular time with God. He wants you to spend regular time with God. Look at it right here. He says, don't banish me from your presence. Don't banish me from your presence. You got to spend some time in the presence of God. If you want to have a life, listen, if you want to bounce back from a fall, it's time for you to get and spend some time in his presence. We said it last week. You got to savor God's word, saturate yourself in God's word. Then he plants you right. Where does he plant you? Right close to the source, right close to the presence. Right close to the presence so that you can have a vital life. That's what God wants to do. Don't banish me from your presence. Run to the presence of God. Spend regular time with him. This is how you bounce back. This is how you adjust your direction. Why is it so important spending time with God to adjust your direction? Because you got to have your mind changed. Everything the Bible says in Romans 12, I said it earlier, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, the reason why you got to spend regular time alone with God in his presence is because you are getting indoctrinated with the ideology and philosophy of the God of this world, who's Satan, by passive diffusion. On a daily basis, you get bombarded with images. You're not even trying. They're just jumping out at you. You might be trying to watch a football game. Boom. Images coming to you. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Everything is coming at you all the time. All kind of images. When I'm trying to watch something good, boom, something else jumps up at me. I was talking to somebody the other day and said, listen, man, until this happened, I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on Facebook because I didn't want to see those images, but now my church is on Facebook and I'm trying to connect with my church, and now I'm getting stuff. I wasn't on social media. Now I got to fight the images that are coming through these social media while I'm just trying to get to church. So that's why you got to spend regular, if you want to change your direction and be going in the direction God has you, he's calling your name, but you got to change direction. You got to spend regular time in his presence. That's number one. But not only that, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does he say? Don't banish me from your presence. And what? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You need to ask for the filling of the Holy Ghost. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit in order for you to adjust your direction. Now, I'm going to tell you, being filled with the Spirit ain't nothing spooky about it. A lot of people got a misunderstanding what this being filled with the Holy Spirit is. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not me coming to lay hands on you and be filled with the Spirit, and now you're doing crazy things, or you're doing unusual things, or you're falling out on the ground, or what have you. The Holy Spirit has come to empower you to live like Christ. He's come to empower you to live like Christ. So I'm going to tell you what being filled with the Holy Spirit is, okay? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not you getting an extra blessing for you speaking a different language at that point in time, and it knocks you to your floor. But with the filling of the Holy Spirit is this: when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, his Spirit comes to indwell you. But the question is, how much of you does the Spirit have possession of? And what you need to do, if you want to adjust your direction, you need to ask God, I want you, fill me with the power from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet with your Spirit's power so that I can do what you call me to do. Because guess what? You can't adjust your direction in your own strength. You can't do it. So what you got to do, listen, you got to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, David says. A change in your direction. Adjust your direction. What do you got to do? Spend regular time alone with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, ask God to give you a sense of his joy. Ask God to give you a sense of his joy. Look at it. It's right here. It says, restore to me again the joy of your salvation. I don't know about you. When I've fallen, when I've disobeyed God and rebelled against God, when I've blown it and sinned in a big way, it saps your joy. You might be listening to me today and the devil has sapped your joy. You have sinned in such a way and you're feeling, how can I get back? And there's the joy of your salvation is gone. What you need to do is ask God. David, what he did, he begged God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Remind me of what it was like, what I have in Jesus Christ. Help me to grasp the depth, the height, the breadth of your love and restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ask God to restore your joy. If you want to change direction, ask God to give you a sense of his joy. He'll do it right now. You might be feeling depressed. You might be feeling down because of what you've done. You feel like you've disappointed God. But I tell people all the time, again, like I said earlier today, it's hard to disappoint a God who sees everything and he knew what you were going to do before you did it. Just ask him, God, give me a sense of your joy. You want to adjust your direction, spend regular time with God, be filled with the power of his Holy Spirit, ask him for a sense of his joy, and then ask God for the power to be consistent. Ask God for the power to be consistent. What does he say? Look at it in the verse. He says, restore to me again the joy of your salvation. And then he ends right here. He says, in verse 12, and make me willing to obey you. You need to ask God to give you the power to be consistent. His word says, it is him who works in me the will and the act of his good pleasure. Ask God to give me the want to do right, the power to be consistent. Do you know you have to ask God sometime to give me the desire to do what I'm supposed to do? I don't know about y'all. There have been some days I don't want to do right. I don't want to do right. I mean, that drive to my flesh is crying out something that I know I shouldn't be doing. And you got to ask God, give me the power to be consistent. Willpower doesn't do it. His power does it. Ask him to give you the power to be consistent. Let him say, give me the will to obey you. And the final thing, if you want to adjust your direction, how do I adjust direction? Look for opportunities. Look for chances to help others. Look for chance to help others. Look at verse 13 of Psalm 51. He says, look, he says, make me willing to obey you. And then go down to verse 13. He says, and then I'll teach your way to sinners and they will return to you. You know, one of the greatest ways for me to get myself back on track is to pour my life into somebody else. To pour my life into somebody else. I'll teach your way to sinner. God, once you've restored me, you've restored my joy, and you created in me a clean heart, and you've given me the desire to obey you. Now, Lord, because I've fallen way far down, I've messed up, and I've seen you restore me, there's somebody else who's walking down that path that I walked down, and you've allowed me to go through it. It was unfortunate. I disobeyed, but God, it was not just for me. It was for somebody coming behind me. What God is telling you, one good way to get on track is for you to serve somebody else, for you to pour and look for opportunity to help somebody else who's gone through what you've been through. You know, sometimes what you've been through wasn't necessarily always for you. It's for somebody coming behind you. And God knew it. He's still calling your name. Aren't you so excited about that today? That no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how bad you've blown it, that God is still calling your name. And all he wants you to do is admit that you've fallen. Just do that. Admit you've fallen. Accept the responsibility for it. Don't pass the blame and then adjust your direction. When you adjust your direction, what you got to do, if I want to adjust my direction, I got to spend time alone with God. I got to get in his presence. I got to ask for him to fill me with the power of his Holy Spirit. Ask him to renew a sense of his joy. Give me the power to be consistent. Help me to be consistent, God. And not only give me the power to be consistent, help me to look for opportunities to pour my life into somebody else. And when you do that, guess what? He'll put you on the right path and you'll hear that call. He's calling your name. And you know what? It's a great feeling to see the fact of the matter is, though I fell far, but I bounce back. He said, the righteous man falls, but guess what? He gets back up. I love that song by Donnie McClurkin. We fall down, but we get up. Why? Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down, but got up. He's still calling your name today. My question to you is, where is it that you've blown it? What's that area of your life where you sin in a big way? and you say, Lord, man, I'm so far. I've gotten so far off. And that you feel it. I mean, it's to the point where David said, man, it was so bad for him that it was affecting him physiologically. Physiologically, David was having physiological effects. You know, when you sin and when you're out of fellowship with God and disobey God, man, it can affect you emotionally, physiologically, psychologically. And David was having those issues. And you might be in that place. You need to ask God to restore your joy today. Might be that you just need to admit to God. Confess. If you confess your sins, he say he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Let's start there. Admit to God. God, it's me. I sinned. Accept responsibility for it. Don't blame it on anybody else. It was me. It was not because of what happened. I'm owning up to it, and it's against you and you alone have I sinned. That's what he said. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. You look in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 kind of goes along with Psalm 51. David's telling you a little bit of what he was going through as he was going through this. And as you're listening to me, I'm willing to wager that most of us have not done it as bad as David did. I mean, David was, he was irresponsible. He was supposed to be at war. He wasn't there. He was lustful. I mean, he was deceitful. He was lying, adulterous. I mean, a murderer. I'm telling you, he got me beat. I don't have that resume. But guess what? If David had a resume that bad and God said, I'm not going to stop having at least somebody, you will always have somebody on the throne. Somebody is always going to be a throne from David's line. If he said, God, David, you're a man after my own heart, then what does that say about me? What does that say about you? There's nothing that you could have done. There's no height that you could have fallen from and depth that you have fallen to that is too far for God to reach you. You know what? His love is far reaching. That's what he says. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your what? Unfailing love, because of your great compassion. And he's calling your name and he's calling you back to in fellowship with him today. Listen, if you've fallen, if you've blown it in some way, today God's calling you back and he wants to restore you. Today he wants you to admit it. Just admit, say, God, I did it. And he wants you to accept responsibility and adjust your direction. He's giving you this opportunity today to get it right. And guess what? He can still use you mightily for his glory. If that's you today, you want to recommit your life to Christ, to walking with Christ. You may have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Yes, you've asked him to ultimately forgive you of your sin, sickness, and so that you can be in right relationship with him. You've taken care of that. But now that you've accepted Christ, there's some areas where you fall in and you're feeling like, look, you're backslidden. That's a lot in church language. We call it backslidden. And you want to get back right with God today. Can you pray this with me? I'm going to pray with you and for you because God wants to restore you today because he's calling your name. Can you pray with me? Say, dear God, I admit I've blown it and I'm coming back home. I accept responsibility for my sin, Lord. And I want to turn around. I'm going to change my direction. I ask today that you'll forgive me for my sin. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can walk consistently with you. In Jesus' name, amen. What he's done, listen, if you meant that, man, God wants it. I'm so glad he's merciful and gracious. No matter what I've done, I can go to him and say, listen, God, will you forgive me? And he's not a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. And listen, a broken and contrite heart, I said it earlier in God's word, says he will not despise. That's what he's looking for. David expressed genuine sorrow for his sin. Godly sorrow, that's what he wants. And if you express that today, he's restored you. Now what he wants to do is get you connected with some people to help keep you accountable. So could you do this? I want you to send me an email. Email PastorDwayne@EncounterChurch.net. PastorDwayne@EncounterChurch.net. That's Dwayne is spelled D-U-A-N-E. @EncounterChurch.net so we can get you connected with somebody that can help encourage you as you recommitted your life to Christ. Can we do that? PastorDwayne@EncounterChurch.net. Listen, if you're here and you're not sure where you are in your relationship with God, you're not sure if you were to die today, you're not sure if you would spend eternity with God in heaven or be separated from him in hell. I'm here to tell you, all of us are born sinners. The Bible, and David said it today, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. All of us are born separated from God. And if we die the way we're born, if we die, we're not dealing with that separation, we will leave this earth to spend eternity in a Christless hell separated from God. That's just the facts of the matter. But God did not want that. It's not. He said, it's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. He wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. In fact, he designed us to be in relationship. But when Adam came and sinned and made the decision to do his thing instead of God's thing, it separated all mankind. All of us were infected with that sickness. And so the only way that can be taken care of is that there has to be a sacrifice made. There had to be a sacrifice made that will cover all of our sin. The Bible said without blood being shed, there can be no forgiveness of sin. So it's for that reason that God, the God of the universe, he loved us so much that he said, there's no perfect sacrifice. There's no perfect man. Only one perfect being is me. So what I will do, I became man. God put on flesh and Christ, he came to dwell among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God came, became man. God came to earth. We call him Emmanuel, Jesus the Christ. He came and lived here amongst us. He went through everything you go through and he never sinned, not one time, so that he could qualify to be the perfect sacrifice for your sins. And he allowed man to place him on a cross. They beat him brutally. They wounded him. They beat him, hung him on a cross, and he shed his blood so that he could be the sacrifice to pay for your sins and my sins. But listen, that was the perfect gift. He gave his life to sacrifice for our sins. And then they put him in a grave. But guess what? Because he's God, the grave couldn't hold him. On the third day, he rose from the grave with all power in his hand so that we might be justified, meaning making it so that just as if we never sinned, making up so that we could be made right with God. He was the sacrifice to pay for our sins, to make us right with God. Now, all you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. He'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. It's all this simple, ABC. All you got to do is admit to God, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and separate. I was born separated from you. I believe that Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice for my sin and that he was lived and he died and he was buried and he rose again. And I make the choice to invite him into my life. If you want him, invite him into your life so he can be your Savior and Lord and so that he can give you eternal life. Just say this after me. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you and I believe that Jesus is the solution for my sins. I believe he lived, that he died, and he was buried and he rose again. And today I invite him into my life to forgive me of my sins and make me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You can live a blessed life. You can have the benefit of knowing when you do drop it, you can go to God and ask for forgiveness. And guess what? He's merciful and gracious to forgive us. And man, that's an amazing thing. We want to know if you started a relationship with God through Jesus Christ today. So could you do this? Text the word next, N-E-X-T. To 301-804-2520. Text the word next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. We want to send you some information that can help you grow in your walk with God. Because now if you just started this relationship, we want you to grow. All right. So we want you to grow in this walk with God. So text us that so we can get some information to you to help build you up in your new found faith. Listen, I'm so excited that you joined us today. If this was your first time here, man, could you do me a favor? Text the word new. We want to send you, text the word new to 301-804-2520. New, N-E-W to 301-804-2520. We want to send a little connect card to you because we're just glad you came and watched and to join us for a worship service this morning. I pray you were encouraged. I pray you were encouraged by the worship time at the beginning. I pray you were encouraged by the word. And I'm here to tell you, guess what? No matter how far you've fallen, He's still calling your name.